So this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, is the subject matter is liberation, moksha. And here we are seeing different kings, like this example of the life of King Yayati has been explained in good detail. There are two chapters dedicated to his life. And here we see how the king, after enjoying for a very, very long time, how he ultimately gives up his position of enjoyment and surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the subject matter. And this verse and this section which is particularly going, I shall read the translation once again. When Princess Sharmishtha begged King Yayati for a son, the king was certainly aware of the principles of religion, and therefore he agreed to fulfill her desire. Although he remembered the warning of Shukracharya, he thought of this union as the desire of the Supreme, and thus he had sex with Sharmishtha. I'm sorry, I think I forgot to read the purport. Purport: King Yayati was completely aware of the duty of a Kshatriya. When a Kshatriya is approached by a woman, he cannot deny her. This is a religious principle. Consequently, when Dharmaraja, Yudhishthir, saw Arjuna unhappy after Arjuna returned from Dwarka, he asked whether Arjuna had refused a woman who had begged for a son. Although Maharaj Yayati remembered Shukracharya's warning, he could not refuse Sharmishtha. He thought it wise to give her a son, and thus he had sexual intercourse with her after her menstrual period. This kind of lust is not against religious principles. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 11th verse, dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi, like that. Sex life, not contrary to the principles of religion, is sanctioned by Krishna, because Sharmishtha, the daughter of a king, had begged Yayati for a son. Their combination was not lust, but an act of religion. So, here we see that King Yayati was faced with a perplexity. I mean, he had two options to go for. One was to follow the principle of dharma as a kshatriya. A woman has approached at the right period, in the right situation. In the right situation means she was a daughter of a kshatriya. So this kind of a union was bona fide as per the shastras. So he should follow dharma. But if he follows dharma, then he may run into difficulty. Because Shukracharya, we all know how powerful Shukracharya is. He has been the spiritual master of asuras for many generations. I don't know how. So risking not following the instruction or rather the warning of such a powerful personality, still if one has to adhere to the path of dharma, then that person is called dharmavit. In this verse, Shukdev Goswami has called King Yayati as dharmavit. He was aware of all religious principles. And separately in Srimad Bhagavatam also, it comes, Yayatir iv dharmikah. When Parikshit Maharaj was born, then I think there were different priests who came and who forecast. This is Vedic culture. When a child is born, then the astrologers and these priests, they speak about the future of the child, what kind of a person, what kind of an individual this person would be. So they were describing the glories of King Parikshit. King Parikshit is such a great personality, we all know. So in order to glorify King Parikshit, they gave the example of King Yayati, that he will be as adherent to the religious principles as King Yayati was. Yayatir iv dharmika. He'll be as dharmic, as strict in following the religious principles, the scriptural principles, as King Yayati. So the living entity, Jiver Swarup hai Krishner Nityadas. The living entity is eternally, its constitutional position is that it is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally. But somehow or other, if it forgets this eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that I am Nityadas, I am eternally a servant, then it develops a desire to gratify its senses independent of Krishna. Krishna Bahirmukh Jeev Bhog Vancha Kare. So when it does not want to be eternally a servant of Krishna, but rather wants to gratify its senses independent of Krishna, then because its eternal position is to be a servant still, then it becomes a servant of Maya. Nikatastha Maya Tare Japatiya Dhare. Then Maya grabs that conditioned soul. When the soul wants to, when the soul desires to enjoy independent of Krishna, then it has to become subservient to Maya. So there are only two options, either become a servant of Krishna or become a servant of Maya. So this position of a servant is eternal. So either we follow the rules of Krishna by our own free will and become a good soul, submissive to Krishna, and become situated in our eternally blissful spiritual identity, or we agree to follow the rules of Krishna forcefully. Just like we can take the example of a prison house, a citizen who is independent, a law-abiding citizen. Srila Prabhupada gives this example very often. A law-abiding citizen, he follows the rules of the state out of his own free will, and he enjoys all the facilities given by the state, and he is very nicely situated in the state. But when the citizen doesn't want to follow the rules and regulations given by the state, then still he has to follow the rules and regulations of the state. How? Then he is imprisoned, he is put in the prison house, and in the prison house he is forcefully made to follow the rules of the state, the rules of the prison. He is bound. So, one should never think that we can be free from the rules and regulations which are there. Either we follow them out of our own free will and be in a very blissful, joyful situation, or we become forced to follow those rules and regulations under the control of Maya. So King Yayati, he was intelligent, he knew, he remembered the rules and regulations of the scriptures, and he followed them. So this is the symptom of intelligence. Now the living entity, when it does not follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures, still they have to follow under the control of Maya. And these, so then the situation of the living entity changes from spiritual world to material world. In the material world, the difference between spiritual world and material world is, in the spiritual world, Krishna is at the center. And in the material world, the soul considers itself to be at the center. Although Krishna is always at the center, but wrongly the soul considers that, you know, I am at the center, and then it tries to enjoy sense gratification independent of Krishna, and thus gets punished by the laws of the material energy. So when an intelligent person considers that anyways I have to follow the rules and regulations, right? So why not follow it out of free will and be a good citizen? Right? Why should I become forced to follow them? So this is the symptom of intelligence. Now one may question that if Krishna loves us, then why this kind of a force is there that we have to follow the rules and regulations? You see, both ways we have to follow. So actually, if we consider deeply, then following the rules and regulations is for the benefit of the citizen. Right? Like suppose there are so many laws in the traffic. Right? One has to keep to the left, and there are different lanes, there is a traffic system, there is a red light, so many things. Now consider first case, everybody follows the rules of the traffic very, very sincerely. Then what happens? The traffic is organized, one knows when to speed up, when to speed down, you know, everything goes well, and one can reach his destination, one's own destination, very, very comfortably and without any anxiety. Now suppose everybody goes against the, or suppose some section of people, they go against the rules of the traffic. Then what will happen? They will not follow, right? There is a red light and they will try to cross. Then they will be in anxiety because they are not following it properly. They may run into difficulty, right? And others can also run into difficulty because of them. I am thinking it is green light, I can go, but somebody else is violating. He is going when it is red light, and then there may be an accident, right? So when a person does not follow the rules, then he himself comes into anxiety, and he brings others also into anxiety, right? So these rules and regulations, Prabhupada has called them regulative principles of freedom. Right? Prabhupada has translated this niyama, rules, they are regulative principles of freedom. Although superficially when we see, it seems like these rules are binding. They bind us. Right? Our freedom is being curtailed. No, you have to go by left. You cannot take the, you know, you cannot take the right side of the road. No, you have to stop at the red light. What is this? This is boundation. But actually we see these boundations make us free. Right? Like there's an example which is often quoted. The train runs on two tracks, right? So it may seem like these tracks are binding the movement of the train. The train cannot go beyond these two rails or the track. You know, it has to be confined within these two rails or within this pair of rails. But actually, what will happen if the train goes out of the track? Then it will not be able to run properly. It will lose its freedom. But so long as the train remains on the track, in India it happens very frequently sometimes that the trains lose the track and then there are accidents. So when the train remains on the track, then the driver who is running the train, he can run very freely. He can speed it up the way he wants, right? But if the train loses the track, then the driver is not so free. He becomes bound. So this superficial understanding that by breaking the rules and regulations I will become free is wrong, is misguided. Right? We become free by following the rules and regulations. Right? And as we discussed, we have to follow. This is the arrangement of Krishna. Either we follow the rules and regulations and become delivered or, you know, unconditioned, not unconditioned, I mean, become free from our conditioned state, become a servant of Krishna, or we forcefully follow all these rules and regulations, become a conditioned souls under the control of Maya, right? So there's no choice, one thing, and other thing is it is for our own benefit, right? So it is better to go as per the rules and regulations like King Yayati did. So because of this superficial understanding that when I enjoy separately from Krishna, then I'll be better situated, you know. When Krishna is at the center, when I am servant of Krishna, Nitya Krishna Das, then that is not a good situation for me. That is, then I am gratifying Krishna's senses and I am suffering, you see. Or maybe I am not having as good pleasure as Krishna. I can become Krishna myself. And when this kind of a desire comes, then one is put into the control of Maya. Like we saw the example of King Nahusha. He was elevated to control the heavenly kingdom. But because he thought himself as the controller, this is one very important point to consider, that this Jivir Swarup Hai Krishnir Nityadas, this Nityadas is a very important thing. Eternally a servant. That means at no point in time can a Jiva become a controller. One falsely thinks, I am the speaker, Srimad Bhagavatam, so I am the boss. But that is wrong. We are always a servant. When I am speaking, sitting on a Vyasasana, then I am serving the devotees by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. I should never consider that I am the master. When I become the in charge of some department, then I must always consider that I am a servant of this department. I am the servant, and through this department, through this service, I am trying to serve in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. When I become the president, like Prabhupada gives the example of President Nixon, the politicians, in Perfect Question, Perfect Answers, Prabhupada says, the politicians, they first go and beg to the people, I'll serve you in this way, I'll serve you in that way, please elect me. And then after they become elected, then they become so puffed up that they start thinking, we are the boss. Right? No. Jivir Swarup Hai Krishnir Nityadas. We are eternally a servant. So even when we are in the position of being a controller, being an in charge, the understanding must be that we are here to serve. Not that those people who are under me, I am their boss, I can order them the way they want, the way I want, and if they do not follow, then they will they'll be in difficulty. They must unconditionally surrender unto me. So that does not mean that one stops delegating, or that one stops giving commands and giving orders and instructions. That is not the understanding. But even while one is giving instruction, even while one is giving guidance, the understanding always remains that I am a servant. That is why whenever the disciples, even the disciples, would offer obeisances to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would say, Dasyo Asmi. I am your servant. So this understanding must always be there. The spiritual master, it does not mean that the spiritual master should not give instruction, or the person who is the in charge of the department should not guide, or the person who is a counselor should not guide. That does not mean like that. One should continue to guide, one should continue to instruct as per his position, as per his service, but the understanding must always remain that I am a servant. So King Nahusha could not follow this. When he was promoted to be the controller of heavenly planets, he thought that all these people who are the residents of heavenly planets, they are my servants. I am the controller. They are for my sense gratification. And that is why he molested the wife of Indra, Shachi Devi, and he got cursed and he had to become a python. You see, if one falsely tries to think himself a controller, he still have to become controlled forcefully. Right? If you do not follow the law, you have to be forced to follow the law. So he became a python, and we can very easily understand that it is such a suffering condition. Right? But King Yayati, he did not do like his father. It is mentioned, Prabhupada says in the translation, although he remembered the warning of Shukracharya, right? But he was certainly aware of the principles of religion. Although it might have gone against his sense gratification. The father was breaking the principles of religion for sense gratification. Something that was facilitating sense gratification, he went for it and broke the principle of religion. But the son, it was going for his sense gratification, right? But still, it was going against his sense gratification. We can see, because Shukracharya is such a personality, he could have cursed him, or he cursed him actually later. And it was sure that there will be big punishment. But still he went for the principles of religion, right? So one question may come, that we are also aware of the principles of religion. Like, it's so simple. If it is so simple that either you become a law-abiding citizen and live peacefully and blissfully, or you break the law and go into the prison, you have to follow the law anyway. So why is everyone not following the law then? Right? And why I am speaking this and I am not following the law myself? Actually, this thing comes because of our forgetfulness of Krishna. The living entity, it comes under illusion that if I gratify my senses independent of Krishna, or if I do not follow these rules and regulations, then I will be in a better situation. So that is why we are also aware of the principles of religion. Like one of the classes I was hearing here in Manor, the devotee mentioned that there's a saying in English, I think Shakespeare said that all the problems in this world can be solved except our own problems. So I am also aware of the principles of religion all the time. But still, when it comes to applying them, when a provoking situation comes, when we really have to take a call, then it becomes really very, very difficult to follow the principles of religion. It is said that the king was certainly aware of the principles of religion. He knew what the principles of religion are. And most of us also know. Whenever there is a situation, we know what is the right thing, at least theoretically. But when it comes to applying it practically, because there is the second consideration, he remembered the warning of Shukracharya. Whether it is going for my sense gratification or against my sense gratification, that is the greatest test. Then we come into difficulty. Right? I know I must do service for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, for the pleasure of my authorities. But my consideration is whether that service is favorable to my sense gratification or not. So within devotional service also, I'll choose that service which facilitates my sense gratification the best. So within services also, I have a tendency to pick that service which facilitates sense gratification the best. Actually, if I see, I am 24 hours engaged in sense gratification. Even the way I am sitting, even the way I am speaking, whatever I am doing, I am only choosing that way which is favorable to my sense gratification. And if incidentally it goes favorable to the principles of religion also, to that extent I am following the principles of religion. When I am chanting, till the time my mind supports, it likes hearing the mantra, I hear. When my mind supports thinking of something else, then I go thinking of something else. So actually I am engaged in sense gratification 24 hours. out of those 24 hours, sometimes it is favorable to the principles of religion, and that's how I think that I am doing bhakti. I am hearing the Maha Mantra, I am attending Mangala Arati, or I am, you know, able to concentrate nicely and I am doing some service and all that. Whatever part of devotional service is favorable to my sense gratification, up to that extent only, I am able to practice devotional service. So this is because of deep-rooted desire for sense gratification. Life after life after life, I have been cultivating this tendency that I must gratify my senses independently of Krishna. And that is why it is very, very difficult to give it up. Then what is the hope? Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan ki jai. Shri Ram Lakshman Sita Hanuman Bhagwan ki jai. Patit Pavan Shri Gauranitai ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Then what is the hope? Srila Prabhupada says, go on. We should just like, if a person is having difficulty in chanting, Prabhupada says, go on chanting. And at the same time, be very, very repentant. So we should go on practicing devotional service more and more and more. And at the same time, being repentant that, you know, I am not able to give up my sense gratification. I am still having this, although I am aware of all these principles, but still, this tendency to gratify my senses is so deep in my heart that I am not able to give it up. And we should go on practicing devotional service more and more and more. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham putam. With intensified devotional service, we should always try to worship and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that way, by practice, gradually, this desire for sense gratification will be replaced by the desire to serve Krishna. If we keep on following, Srila Prabhupada has given us such a wonderful program, such a wonderful system, that we can engage ourselves always, attending morning program sincerely, associating with the devotees, having prasadam, chanting, preaching, book distribution, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, hearing to his lectures, so many things are there. So if we can somehow or other engage ourselves more and more and more in this fire of devotional service, then just like an iron rod, which is always in contact with fire, it acts just like fire only. So if we come in contact with the principles of devotional service, then this impure desire of sense gratification, it will be purified and we will be situated in our eternal constitutional position, which is eternally, we are eternally a servant of Krishna, and that will be the most blissful situation in our life. Right? So whenever there is a doubt, two things, what we should do, we should always try to follow whatever is favorable for our devotional service, whatever is the desire, whatever is the order of our spiritual master, whatever is as per the principles of religion, and then gradually we'll find the best advantage. So I shall stop here. If there's any comment or correction,